28 to verse 30. Now I want you to listen. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And there was set a vessel full of vinegar. And they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished. Dear Father in heaven, I know there's something that comes after that. Because I know that your son was not really finished in the job he had to do. This one he was. But there's more to come. That's a new beginning and dawning of a new day as we talk about it, as we think about it, about Easter and the resurrection. But today, as I proclaim your word to this congregation, may they understand what it means to be finished in the things that were proclaimed. Precious word on the Bible. Be with us now in the name we pray. Amen. You ever have a job and when you get through with it, you say, boy, it's finished. I'm glad this is done. Man, I don't have to look at this again. You know, all these things come to your mind, don't they? Well, I think about Jesus for just a minute and I think about what was going on and when he said, it is finished. The last word is said to be spoken by the Lord himself, by the greatest man that ever lived on this earth. It said, it is finished. When Jesus died on the cross, my friends, think about the Roman guards that were there that day. With that one that said very plainly, sure that this was the Son of God in Matthew 27:54. This surely was the one that God sent into the world. And when Jesus died on that cross at that time, even the nature itself around him shouted out. How can I explain that to you this morning? When Jesus said, it is finished, it said the earth quaked. Jesus said, it is finished. Mountains rumbled. When it is finished, the fish in the sea heard it. It swam along. When it is finished, the forest started to wave. When it is finished, the birds started to sing. When it is finished, people realized one thing. Christ died. But what kind of finish did he have? Did he have a glorious finish? Was he excited about what was happening to him on that cross and before he got there? Well, let's just back up just for a few minutes and a few days. Jesus Christ himself, as he was taken to Pontius Pilate, you know, and the others, and as they looked at him, and the first thing they said, and Pilate said, I find no fault with this man. But then all of a sudden it says the Pharisees and everybody in the crowd that had been, you know, worshiping him, coming into the city that day, all of a sudden they turned the opposite way. There were people in the crowd that were paid that day to lie about Jesus Christ. They were willing to do whatever they could to see him go to the cross and die because they didn't want him in the way, because they said if he got in the way, what would happen? It would cause problems for the nation of Israel because those leaders of that day, you know, they were in charge to make sure the people kept quiet and kept calm. What was Jesus doing? Jesus was stirring up havoc to the coastline. They didn't like that. He went into the temple, it says, and turned the tables over for the money changers. He said, this house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves, he said. You're always trying to disrupt what God has for you to do. And all of a sudden, it's like, you know, these people that love Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden, it's like, we don't care about him anymore. We just want to see him die. And you remember the one that they traded for Jesus, named Barabbas? You remember him? He was a murderer, a thief, a rapist. He did everything in the world that he could do, and he deserved to die. But instead of him dying, as they cast the lots and all about Jesus, what did they do? They said release him because they could release one prisoner that year. And Barabbas was turned free, my friend, and Jesus took his place and went to the cross of Calvary. Why? Because he said very plainly that he was the one who had come to die for the sins of the world. And die he did. So today when you think about Christ, I want you to think about a few things. I want you to think about this for just a minute. That everything that Christ did in this life was to give you and to give me, to give all of us here, a better life. And we need to take, and don't take for granted what he's given to us. It cost him his life on the cross of Calvary that you and I could have eternal life by accepting Him as our Lord and Savior. You see, your sins, my sins, were placed upon His shoulder during that time. You can think to yourself, well, you know, that was the sins of the world. If I was to take Warren and bring him up here this morning and say, okay, I've got a couple of men and I've got some 100-pound sacks of concrete, and I'm going to bring it up here and I'm going to start putting it on each side of his shoulder, and I'm going to do this until Warren buckles at the knees and he falls. That'll be all that you can handle, right? I want you to think about this for just a minute. When Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, it wasn't just on a few 100 pounds of weight. He took all the sins of all mankind, past, present, and future, were placed upon him as he hung on that cross, and as they weighted him down, and those nails pulled on his hands and in his feet, my friends, and he tried his best to get just a little bit out of it. Just a little bit. We don't know what weight is all about. We don't know what pain he was suffering at that time. We read about it in the Scripture, that he was beaten, for his skin, it says, on his back was gone. There was bone and muscle showing on his back. His beard was pulled out. There were thorns placed upon his head where it went deep into his skull, about 4 inches long. You know what it feels like when you get a briar stuck in you, right? Think about thorns that would be placed on your head and shoved into your brow at that time. And as he went from there down to Golgotha, it says, to the place of the skull, right? He went down that Dolorosa, and it said very plain, as he went, he had that cross beam on his shoulders. He was carrying that to the cross, my friend, to die, to be hung on this cross for us, that he was willing to suffer all the way. And he did. Think about the blood that ran down off his person at that time. Think about the one that the Roman soldier said, pick up that cross and carry it for him. And as he was carrying that cross beam, how it must have felt when the blood was running off it down on him at that time. This was the Son of God, your Savior and my Savior, suffering every step of the way, being cursed, being pushed, being beaten. Everything that could happen to him was happening at that moment. And he was willing to endure that all the way to the cross. Then on that cross, he was willing to do one thing, to hang there for you and for me, to give us life and to give us an abundant life that we need to take and share with people today for what Christ has done. This world may not believe us and what we have to say, but one day they're going to stand before the judge. They're going to stand before Jesus Christ, and they're going to make an account of who they are. But you know what's really interesting? The fact that Jesus already knows where their heart's at. He already knows what the relationship is. And the day that he says, depart from me, I never knew you, that's going to be a sad day. Some of you sitting here this morning, and say to yourself, yes, I got Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you really have Christ in your life? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you died today, you'd go to heaven? That's the question. Can you answer that question with a strong yes, I know? At the end of the way, can you say to yourself, as I talked about a Sunday school class this morning, I said, could you say at the end of your life, it is finished and I've done all I can do for the Lord Jesus Christ? My friends, we got a lot to do. We got a lot to do for Jesus. The first thing is to be the witness he would have us, to serve him every single day, to love him every single day. And at the end of the way, my friends, I can say, just like Paul and the rest of them said, it is finished. I've done everything I can that you asked of me to do. This is the Christ that we serve. This is a Savior that loved you enough to die for you. Look at verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, he said what? I thirst. Let's just take those two little words, I thirst. Do you thirst today for something? Do you thirst today for just water? Just a little bit? Do you remember the rich man and Lazarus? Do you remember the rich man told Abraham, he said, send Lazarus and let him just touch some water and touch my tongue and quench me because I'm dying here in this place. I'm burning up. He said, the fire won't quit. Things aren't going well. He said, I thirst. But what did he tell him? He said, I'm sorry, son. In your day, you had it good, but look at you now. You're getting what you deserve. What are you thirsting after today? Are you thirsting after success? Are you thirsting after more money to be made? What are you thirsting after today? My friends, the things you need to thirst after is more of God's word, more of God's love, and a relationship with Jesus Christ. desire. What do I thirst for? To drink more and to hunger and to be in this Word and loving the Word, taking care of the Word, using the Word, and helping me to be filled on that Word. I thirst. Do you thirst? What do you feel within yourself at this moment? If you think about Christ there, what would you do if I went in and got some vinegar and came back out here right now? I'd go over to Jimmy and I'd say, Jimmy, here, drink this stuff. You know? Bitter. Nasty. You know? Hey, we'd say, Pop-Pop, what are you drinking? Wouldn't you? What kind of facial expression would he have made? Huh? How many of y'all ever drink vinegar? How many of y'all drink vinegar in the morning? Okay, I know y'all sick. Yeah. Does it help you through the day? Okay. But it's not a sweet thing, is it? It's bitter. Can you think of Jesus on the cross? Here he is. He's beaten, flogged. He's hanging on the cross. He's about to die, my friends. And all of a sudden, he said, I thirst. And he stick a sponge of vinegar and stick it in his mouth. And all of a sudden, what do you think the mouth does? It starts to dry up a little bit, doesn't it? And then you want to get some water. Really get some water behind that. The fact was that he was thirsting, my friend. What was he thirsting for? Thirsting and dying. That we don't have to thirst and die the way he did. I'm thirsty for the Word of God. I'm hungry for the Word of God. And every day I live, I get a little bit more of it. Until the day I die, my friends, I will study it, I will learn it, I will drink on it, I will eat it, I'll do what I got to do with it, so that God will get what? That he will get all the glory in the end, and I can be just like Jesus saying, Lord, it is finished. I've done the job you had me. Second place, third place, or fourth place. Not today and not tomorrow. But we like to put him on. We like to put him on the back burner somewhere. And something happens and I call on Jesus and say, Lord, I need you now. You remember them old call, but Peter, you remember Peter? I love Peter. Open mouth, stick foot in, you know. Yeah, that's Peter. You ever read Peter? That's what he did. He was always in trouble. Always open mouth, stick a big foot in it. Some of y'all can do that pretty well too. Amen. So what happened? Jesus came walking on the water, and old Peter said, Lord, is that you? They were afraid it was a ghost or a spirit or something. And all of a sudden he said, yeah. He said, can I come to you? Yeah, you can come. Boy, he was hungry. He wanted to get to Jesus. He was thirsty. Here. Well, I'm coming, Lord. Here I come. Then all of a sudden when he jumped out the boat, jumped in the water, what happened? Just like the rest of us. Took his eyes off of who he was focused on. And the Bible says that he started to sink. All the waves were around him. Things weren't good. Things didn't look good. Oh, he was frightened, right? You've been out in the boat in the storm. You know what happens when it starts rocking and rolling? You either get sick or you go back to the shore, right? The fact is this. As Peter walked on the water, eyes on Jesus. It's like I'm looking at Doug right now. Eyes on Doug. Right? Can I come to you? Doug said, yeah, come on. I come on out the boat, and I'm walking along, and all of a sudden, things aren't going too well. I see what's happening around me. I take my eyes off the Lord for just 1 second. The next thing, where am I at? No, I ain't doing a backflip. I'm not doing a backstroke. I'm not swimming. All I'm doing is saying this. Lord, save me. Peter knew at that moment that he could save his friend. Even though he was drowning, or maybe he couldn't swim, I don't know. But he uses it to help him. Jesus reached down and took him by the hand and lifted him right up out of that. See, that's what he does for us. You're sinking in the muck and mire of this world. Remember what he did on that cross to give you life. What he did is he reached down in the muck and mire that you were in. He picked you up. He set you over here. He gave you a new beginning and a new way to live. What are you thirsty for this morning? I'm thirsty for more Jesus. I'm thirsty that more of the Spirit will get alive in our church, that people will get excited about Jesus Christ. And we just don't have a ho-hum attitude about it. Because, see, we need to have Christ centered in the church every day. If he's centered in the church, he'll be centered in your life. See? That's where he needs to be. Then they set that vessel on there. Fill with that sponge, you know. Oh, fill it up till it runs over upon hyssop. Put it to his mouth, boy, that he may just gobble that stuff right up. You think he did? No. No. I can imagine when they took this, that would be it. But you see what Christ did here? even took that on the cross for us. My friends, we're living in a bitter world today. Just like that vinegar that tastes like it. It's bitter. And that world we live in is the same way today. Nobody likes nobody. You like that? Nobody cares about you the way Jesus cares about you. Nobody. People can act friendly to you. They can act kind to you. They can say they love you. You know? I always like the people to say, I love you in Christ. It's okay, but what about you and me? You love me at all? You love me in Christ. What does that really mean? Huh? I think sometimes it's just a cop-out. It sounds good. You know? I love you in Christ. You know? We say it in a way that, you know, that it really doesn't mean anything. My question is this. If you love somebody, if you care about somebody, how are you going to treat them? You're going to treat them with love. They will feel the love when you come together. They'll feel the relationship when you come together. Jesus was on that cross, and he looked down and saw his mother down there. And what did he say? He said, woman. He didn't like that, but that's what they called him back then. Behold that son. That he told John to take care of his mother. How do you think Mary must have felt about that woman, knowing that her son was up there on that cross, hanging up there for the world, to die for the sins of mankind, and they all despised him and hated him? Huh? How many? Millions of people today in this world still despise Jesus Christ. Millions of people in this country despise Jesus Christ. You want to know why? Because they don't understand him, and they don't understand us. You know why they don't understand us? It's because we don't talk about Jesus so they'll understand us. Tell somebody today, say, you know, my Savior died for me, and you know it says on the cross that he thirsted? They'll say he did what? How do you explain that to them? Thirsting for people to come to know God as their Lord and Savior. That's what he's thirsting. To know more than that. See, you can sit in church all day long. You can sit here and listen all day long. You got to put some action behind your feet. Action behind the words God gives to us. And back there, it's hard for us to get up and put action against anything today, isn't it? We can complain. We can complain about everything. We can complain about all the murders in the schools. We can complain about all the guns. We can complain about all the drugs, all the alcohol, all the crazy people, mental people. We can talk about all of it, but my friends, we don't do nothing about it. So who are we to talk about? Jesus Christ, my friends, I want you to understand something. When Christ went to the cross of Calvary, he suffered on the cross. He suffered on the cross. You hear that? You and I don't suffer like Christ suffered. And the things we hear in the world today are so corrupt because why? Because Christ is not centered in the world that we live in today. And we have no one to point our finger at but us. We're the ones that are faithful. Jesus Christ fulfilled every scripture that pertained to him going to the cross of Calvary. You hear that? He fulfilled every prophecy in this book from the Old Testament until he went to the cross. You ever thought about that? How much he did? He would not have gone to the cross on that day. Until everything had been done up to that point, to dying on the cross at that time. See? God's plan is the perfect plan. God's plan has never failed. God's plan has given us life. And Jesus Christ has given us abundant life. Because when you look at the scripture, look what it says in verse 30. Jesus therefore had recovered. He said, receive the vinegar. He said what? It is. Finished. It is finished. And he bowed his head. It says, and he gave up the ghost. If Jesus Christ's job in this life was not complete at that moment, he would have never said, it is. So what can I say about that? Well, let me tell you this. Some people will tell you there are a bunch of cheap words that he said. Anybody can say it's finished. But can you say it's finished like Jesus said? you say to the world you live in today when you die that, yes, I have run the race. I've fought a good fight. I've done everything I can in this world to make things right. And you can say, none of us in this room say the same words that Jesus said. But my friend, our job is to have a chance to do it. Your life may end, you may go on, but my friend, life still moves ahead. Just have a responsibility. Yes, when I die, this body dies. Yeah, that's finished. But my friend, I'm going to live on after. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant every word of it. He said this. He said, I came into the world as a small child, born of the Virgin Mary. He said, I lived my life with my mother and father here on earth as earthly men. He says, at the age of 12, he was in the temple. They were there, you know, for the census at that time we talked about. How Jesus himself, you know, when they took off and went on their way, they realized something. Where is it? Where's Christ? Where's Jesus at? Where'd he go to? You know? They all had to go all the way back to find him. Now, can you imagine your child taking off like that, you know, back when, when they were growing up, your boys? See what they say? And you would have burnt their backside all the way home. And you would have straightened them up real quick. But what did Jesus say? He said, when they caught him in the temple, he's preaching the word. I can imagine 12 years old like that, preaching the word to these high priests, right? And I can imagine back in his mind, he says, you people don't know nothing. You know? He said, I'm God. I'm the Son of God, and you actually know nothing. And he's there preaching to them and telling them all about the Father and all about the things that are going on, right? Don't you think they were amazed? Huh? Sure they were. He said, I got to be about my Father's work, business. And then this is the bad part about it. Great, you all listen to this part. He was 12 years old when that happened to him, but you didn't hear from him anymore until he was 30. 18 years, house arrest. What do you think? Woo! Boy, how old are you, Tim? Yeah, you'd be there a long time, wouldn't you? Think about it. 18 years, he never did anything at the temple until he started to sing. He was Galilee. Now, could you imagine that? Here's the Son of God, 12 years old, in the temple, preaching the word, right? And all of a sudden, he disappears. You know, just like he just vanished, you know. 18. Somebody's gone for 18 years, you don't see him, you don't wonder where they're at, don't you? Isn't that true? Jesus was gone. And then all of a sudden, it says, when he came, when he went about, called out his disciples, right? Ministry started. They left the fishing boats, they followed him. Tax collector, Matthew, he left and followed. People started to follow him. All 12 of them that he got followed him. And they followed him for 3.5 years. I'm kidding. Here's the Son of God talking to these disciples all these years, telling them, you know, I've got to go and I've got to die for the sins of man. I'm going to a cross. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be punished. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. And even right up to the time that he was ready to go to the cross of Calvary, they still didn't understand. Peter denied it before the cross was denied. And the Lord told him to do it. Judas Iscariot, a disciple of Jesus Christ, was a snake in the grass. He was there. That's what his job was for. Sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. A lot of money in that day. 30 pieces. Then when he kissed him in the Garden of Gethsemane, do you remember what happened? When he spoke, he said, if the wind has blew the guards back, he'd have cut off one of the ears and put it back on. I tell you what, if I'd have been that guard or whatever it was and the ear got cut off and Jesus reached over and put it back on, guess what? I'd have followed him too. I'd have followed him all the way. Who could do this? Nobody but the Son of God. He did that. Even on the time that he went to Gethsemane, they drug him into the city. Before Pontius Pilate sent him away and brought him back. Oh, everybody was all upset, right? Oh, yeah, this man here, he's just a crook. He's blasphemous. He blasphemed God's name. He did all these things. They called him Beelzebub. They even called him the devil. thank those individuals for thinking right now today that did that to Jesus. What do you think they went to? You think they're waving palm branches today? You think they're singing hallelujah, praise Jesus today? I'm going to tell you what they're doing right now. Those that rejected him are burning in the portals of hell this morning, just like the rich man was, and they will be there through all eternity, and they'll never leave. All the way to Galvani. Beaten. Half dead. Hanging on a cross. Hanging on a cross like nobody's ever hung before. There you are. You know what's so amazing to me about this? When you hung on a cross in those days, crucifixion was final. You don't know of anybody that ever got off the cross, do you, that was crucified? Two thieves, there were one on each side. Rails on him for a while, and the one said, Lord, remember me. Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in heaven. Oh, what a feeling there must have been that came over him. Christ accepted the Lord. Remember when he said, Father, Father, I have something to say. You think about Jesus now, he couldn't barely breathe. He's on this cross. He's trying to pull himself up just enough to get some air in his lungs because of the pressure that was put on him. Get a picture of this right now. Think about it. Look at this cross right here behind him. Think about the man that was there, his arms on each side. Spikes in his hands, his feet dangling. Little small board that they have where they could raise up just enough. As they're pulling stuff up like this. Trying to get that last look at him. The last thing he ever said. When he pulled himself up that last time. The strength that God gave him. It is finished. God gave him enough strength to put himself out one more time to say to him. My friend's story doesn't stop there. The story continues on. You'll hear the rest of it next time. But before I leave this morning, I want to give you this. God's grace is on that cross. Grace of Jesus Christ's blood flowed from that throne as he was hanging on it there, and that's what it was really. What his life was on the cross. It came down on the ground and it flowed out. I like this one thing that I read this week that really touched me. I was thinking about how his blood flowed down. How it flowed out to the Roman guards. To all those that were present around. How many people got saved by God's grace that day? Flowed out through the city, out through the gates, out through the hills and the highways and byways of grace and flow. At Pentecost, God's grace is flowing today. Even though Jesus said, it is finished, the rest of the story